Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem Shalom Bayis Shir number 468. We were starting to talk about in the last year about jealousy and being envious and how that ruins marriages in a very unreasonable way and in a wrong way. And besides what we mentioned in the last year, please listen to the second half of the last year, where we addressed some of this. Very often being envious of someone else's specific characteristics makes no sense at all. Because nobody is flawless in every way. You're not perfect. So why do you expect your wife or husband to be perfect? Your husband or wife has good qualities that you may already know about or will discover if you think about it. So think about all your husband or wife's traits, the positive ones. Concentrate on them. And as you concentrate on them, they'll fill your consciousness more. You'll learn how to bring it out in them more. And your marriage gets 10 times better than it is now. Instead of zooming in and focusing on what you quote-unquote don't have. Very often what happens is that you see a certain kindness in your husband or wife, but it's a little bit underneath the surface, so you just let it be. And you let it rot because you behave miserably towards them. So it becomes deeper in them. And they don't act as nice. So you see other people, husbands or wives, oh, they're so nice. Maybe they're nice because it's easy for them to be nice when you're, you know, together in the same table by a Sheva Brachas or something. But it's not so easy to be nice when upsetting things take place. So the bottom line is very often in marriage, a husband and wife has a lot of good qualities that are obviously there in an open way, sometimes dormant in a hidden way. But either way, whether it's hidden or not hidden, you concentrate on that and work through it. You bring out the best in your husband and wife. It's a choice you make. You actually create that vision of your husband and wife. You build them up. You are a very, very much a catalyst, an influencer on how beautiful your husband and wife will turn out to be by simply being there and acting according to the way Hashem wants you to act. Automatically, the behaviors over time of your husband and wife gets elevated. Very often, it's sad to see. This is those people who are contemplating divorce need to understand this, because in some cases, not always easy, but I read up in interviews regarding this. And there's a book I didn't go into yet where actually somebody who got divorced was honest enough to write an honest book about it and explain how he, it was a man in this case, did not behave properly in his first marriage, divorced his wife. Actually, in the book that he wrote, apologizing, dedicating it to his first wife and apologizing to her for his bad behaviors. And what happened was, so she left the marriage, married somebody else. And with that somebody else, this same lady thrived, glowing, happy. What happened? All of a sudden, she became a different person. Sometimes that's the case. People change and they become a better person than they were before. But very often, it's very simple. In this case, let's pick the scenario in this case. Your quote-unquote ex-wife, when you were married to her, you didn't treat each other properly. Could have been a two-way street, but you didn't do it either. Meanwhile, all her good qualities were left dormant, hidden, buried, because you didn't bother to help access it. And seemed to be externally like a nasty, bitter person. And not interested in anything, and not interested in the way they dress, and they're very moody, so on and so forth. Then they marry somebody else after divorcing you. That one is more worked through, a bigger mensch. Decides to work on their marriage. Maybe your ex-wife, who didn't want to work on it before, decided to work on it too. That could be. And then all of a sudden you go back and you see and you're scratching your head. This, your ex-wife, is she's like a different person. What happened? She changed. Now, very often they change because they change. But a lot is the way they were treated. The way you treated him versus the way that their new husband treated them. And that makes them shine. So why wait till then? Do that with your own wife now. A lot of the negative qualities are on the surface already outside, while the good qualities are hidden. And a husband and wife could actually reverse that. zoom in on the good qualities and bring that out. So the scenario of one point also of one particular thing bothering you about your husband and wife and killing the marriage in your mind because of that one point or 2 points is similar to when you go plan a dream vacation. You worked on the location, the setting, and the views, and the food, and everything's beautiful when you arrive. Everything's exactly as you wish. You're excited, but when you go to the bedroom is painted in the shade of color that you despise. You hate that color. It irritates you, makes you get upset. So what are you going to do? One option is you're resentful through the whole vacation, kvetching about that you ended up in this location because you end up in a bedroom with a shade of color that you despise. Or you make a choice, you swallow that, and you say, I'm going to look past that one issue, concentrate on all the other wonderful things that is here, that this vacation has to offer to me, and I'll make the most of it. That is the more healthier option. And the same is true with a relationship. We get dragged down by that one, mostly it's the one glaring thing that you dislike in your husband, that you dislike in your wife, that you just can't get over. But the key really is, the important thing is, do not allow that to happen. Focus on the positive aspects of your marriage. Transform your life into a happy and healthy one. And don't get hung up on the one issue or two issues. Because if you do, that's a real, real true shame. Thinking about other people will not do you any good. You have a choice right then and there. It may be more geschmack for you to think about other people escaping that way. But if you're mature and healthy and you want what Hashem wants and you want your ultimate good, you focus on developing your own marriage. You're capable of it. Everyone is capable of it. The bond that you can form with your husband or wife is limitless. Hashem gave you both an neshama, and Hashem says it's before you. There may be blockages on the outside, but if you want it and you work through it, you could have the deepest kesher. Hashem gives that opportunity for every single couple. And it's sad, Nebuch, for those that are even those abusers and narcissists or physical verbal abusers, part of besides their destructive behavior that is terrible. Hashem is basically saying, get your wagon fixed. You have no idea what you could do if you break that. But again, not at the expense, you don't stay in a relationship if that person's not willing to get better and the behavior doesn't change. But the bottom line is, you see from all of this the importance of working through those unhealthy jealousies. Now, we're going to now summarize in this book, Pure Oneness by Rav Aaron Cohn, which is, there's another part now that's going to go into more of the physical aspects of it and things like that. But for this, he reviews these points about marriage to remember. So remember this. Number one is that the Torah envisions a Jewish home to have a strong bond between a husband and a wife. It's a responsibility of an Am Kadosh. And that Hashem placed a deep feeling between a husband and wife in such a special way that this true close relationship with your husband, with your wife, can be achieved to the point that you can love them as you love yourself, the epitome of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamoicha. While if you're in a cold relationship, it's difficult to live with one another. You could develop the warm relationship by communicating love, by learning how to make a healthy emotional connection. Also important to remember always the biological differences between a husband, a man and a woman, and their emotional makeup. And you always communicate with each other with a respect, with a civility, and you never hurt your husband's feelings or your wife's feelings. And you try to work through solutions that work for the both of you. And make it a commitment to invest in quality shalom bayis in your work. It's extremely important in Hashem's eyes. He's willing to wipe off his name in some instances because of Shalom Bayis. He says, I, my Shechina, is with you when you're with in peace with one another. If Hashem is investing so much in it, how much will it help you in your physical life, in your mental life, in your spiritual well-being of your life if you invest in your marriage? And it's key when you're listening to all these things is to practice, keep on practicing the Yesodos brought down in this, in these shiurim, and bring it out in a practical way. There's a pasuk that says, "Bechachma yibana bayis, uvesvuna yiskainin, uvdas chadarim yimalo," which means, with wisdom a house is built, with understanding it's established, and by knowledge your rooms are filled. The pasuk in Mishlei Perachav Dalet. And it says here, basically, that a house is composed of a combination of rooms. But if you have a few random disconnected rooms, that's not a house. When all the rooms are connected, they're connected, that comprises a house. All rooms that are necessary to make a home livable must be present. And each room must be given attention. The same applies, by the way, even with a bathroom. We want to relieve themselves and take showers, right? And things like that. That one room, again, this halachas of beis hakiseh, all right? We're not supposed to think about Torah in certain situations with that. But in a Jew's life, that is a real room in a house. It used to be outside the house. Baruch Hashem, it's in a house. That's a chelik of a Jew's life. It's part of the home as well. It's not to be discounted. Your kavanah v'asher yatzar in your health, the fact that you have hygiene, the fact that you could relieve yourself and you don't have to go on dialysis, and you don't have colon or stomach issues, or that you could take showers and clean yourself. This is a part of the home, like any other room. A couple needs to focus on every single room in their home. Because whatever happens in an individual room spills over to others. So I picked an example now of the room that's least likely for a person to think that is connected to the rest of the house or your life, because it's the very, very mundane aspects of life, the bathroom. But the way you conduct yourself even there affects your personality and affects your marriage. Certainly every other room in the house, the kitchen, the dining room, the whatever you have in your house, storage closets. And of course, the bedroom. And the love and caring that a couple has for each other has to be present everywhere. How is it present in the bathroom? You clean up after yourself. You spray deodorant, the air freshener, whatever it is. Respect for one another, even when one's in the bathroom before the other one comes in. That is a love and caring that spreads even into an area in the bathroom. But the love has to spread into the kitchen. When you're in the kitchen, everything related to kitchen matters. Living room, dining area, and the bedroom. And now he's going to go into those discussions pertaining to Kedusha and the connection in marriage in depth pertaining to the bedroom area in life, which we'll, as Hashem, talk about in the upcoming shiurim. Bracha natzlacha.